Toldos is from the beginning of the Navi Malachi. Masik Var Hashem El Yisrael B'Yad Malachi. Malachi lived in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Some questions about his identity. According to one opinion, he was Ezra. Either way, that's his Kufa that he lived. And the beginning of the Nebuah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying how I've chosen Yaakov and I've rejected Esav. Va'ohav es Yaakov es Esav sanesi va'esem es Haram es Harav Shemama es Nachlasa l'sanos Minbar. Of course, that's the obvious connection to the Parsha. You have Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is the chosen son. He's the heir to the legacy of Avraham Avinu, and Esav was rejected, and therefore the Nevuah goes on to describe here in the first psukim of the Perek how there's no hope, there's no redeeming value in Esav, and the destruction will remain. Now, that's the beginning of the Haftorah. You go on, and at first glance, it doesn't seem to be direct connection to the Parsha at all. The rest of the Haftorah, which is Kapitel Aleph into Kapitel Beis of Malachi, is a critique of the Jews in that period who are very dismissive of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It was the people themselves who brought the Karbanos. It was the Kohanim describing how they would offer Karbanos that were misfits, they were blemished, they were not of a caliber that you'd want to offer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you would have a governor, an authority, a person of stature, you would want to give them something nice, and what are you giving me? Therefore Hashem says, "Ein li chefetz b'chem, u'mincha l'erzem yedchem." And the question is, what does that have to do with the Parsha? So it occurred to me over Shabbos, and I actually thought it's so pasha to me, so someone has to say it. So this morning, before I left the house, I said, I realized Rabbi David Feinstein has a book on Haftorahs. Maybe one of you saw it. He's smiling. I said, maybe he says it. And Baruch Hashem, I found it. So they say it's an expression, if you're going on a gleich aveg, if you're going on a straight path, you're going to meet other people along the way. If you say something and you know, it's totally off, then probably you're not going to find anyone else who says it. So in this case, I feel, you know, validated that I was mechavin to this. I'll just elaborate a little bit and maybe connect it also to another Maram Malkam. But the basic idea is very, very beautiful. That, you know, Esav was, of course, a Rasha, and he did many terrible things. Chazal say that the day that he came back and the day that he sold the Bechorah, he committed other Averos. Yet what you have in the Chumash is one description of Esav, which is trying to completely define his rishus, and that's in the four words that are stated after he sold the Bechorah, Vayivas Esav Esav Bechorah. Rashi already comments, explaining those words, that the Torah is basically being very harsh on Esav, and Heyid HaKasuv, Rashi says, that the Biza Avodaso Shomalkom. That means that after everything is said and done, the defining aspect that goes to the heart of Esav's rishus was the fact that Biza Sabuchor, when the Gemara says at the end of the first part of Baba Basra, of that the five things that he did, the fifth one was shot as Sabuchor. That means that Esav's attitude was, it wasn't just because he was desperate at the moment, but he did not appreciate, not only didn't he appreciate, he denigrated the value of what it means to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, to serve in the role of a Bechor, which would have been the original plan, that the Bechorim would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Nope. So what we have here is, I think, the following. The Navi begins by saying, I've chosen Yaakov, I've rejected Esav. But, you know, if you want to be consistent with that selection, you want to be able to justify that which I loved you and I rejected Esav, you have to make sure that you're not tainted in any way by that quality of Esav. Esav was Vayivas Esav Bechorah. Therefore, the Navi goes on to say that you have to work on yourself here, and you have to make sure that you get over this problem that you are yourself doing that very same thing. It's also striking that it starts off by saying this also saw there. In it says Ben Yechabed Av, the Eved Adonav, a son respects his father, and if I'm your father, where's my honor? We know Esav had a Mila of Kibud Av. So this is a condemnation of Klal Yisrael that you're missing the point. I rejected Esav, and look, you yourself are undermining that justification to reject Esav. You know that the famous Bach, this is where I'm going to sort of elaborate a little bit beyond what I saw. The Bach famously says, beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, we're already in Kislev, so we're thinking about 3 weeks from now is Chanukah, 3 weeks from tonight. And the Bach writes in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, in describing the difference between Purim and Chanukah, and we know Purim was set aside to be Mishnah of Yom Tov, and Chanukah was for Hallel, Hodos or Hallel. And the Bach writes, it famously quoted, and he says, what was the root Aveira, the root cause of the Gzeira of Chanukah? So Chazal talk about explicitly about Purim. What was the Gzeira of Haman based on? So the Bach says, and he tries to find a medrash like this, not a medrash that we're familiar with, but the Bach made it famous, that the reason why there was a Gzeira of the Yevanim, Mashkicham Torasecha, was because Hisrashlu Ba'avoda. They were a little bit lax, lackadaisical in Avoda, and therefore the Gzeira was Levata Mehem Ha'avoda, and he brings a medrash like that. Just another parallel to this is what we spoke out the other day from the Nitziv. That we know that Yaakov took the brachos away from Esav in a manner which was, you could say, Esav-like. Esav's mida was Zayid Befiv. He was a deceiver. He would deceive whoever he went. His notion of being a hunter is not just hunting animals, but it requires a certain slyness, and this is what it means, Rashi Zayid Befiv. He would fool Yitzchak, and this was his whole style. So Yaakov had no choice because of the nature of what was going on, and Rivka realized what would happen if Yaakov wouldn't take the brachos. So Yaakov had to resort to that particular quality of Esav. So that we call Avera Lishma, as Nitziv describes it. And Avera Lishma is sometimes what you need to do, and it's a tremendous madrega, but what needs to be is Lishma, completely Lishma. So Nitziv says, incredible idea, that the Chazal tell us that there was an onesh that we suffered in time of Haman, that because of those tears that Esav shed when he realized he was deceived, so because of that, Vayitzak Saka Gdola Mara, his screech, his tears, therefore Mardechai did the same thing at the time of the Gzeir of Haman. Why are we faulted for Esav's tears? So the answer is because that moment of Esav crying out and crying was not just that Yaakov felt, this is what I needed to do, I'm not feeling good about Esav having, being deceived. This is what I had to do. It was a little bit in Yaakov's consciousness of the midah of Esav, you could say, of the midah of, I tricked him, I got it, I cheated. And that nekuda that was a little shalom ishma, that was a little Esav-like, that was the kitrug that led to Vayitzak Zagdol Mar. So again, it goes well with what we're saying in the Haftar Malachi. It was for us, Klal Yisrael, to be able to justify the fact that we are the Am HaNivchar. We have to work on ourselves to be completely free of any aspects of that which Esav represents, Esav Sanesi, whether it be in terms of the Avoda and the Chshibas that we should show to Avoda, and in terms of this Midah as well, even if something has to be done, which is something of an Avera Lishma, it must be 1,000% Lishma.